and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. We're brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, America. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope everybody's had a great weekend and a safe weekend. Got some rain. I don't think they got much up in northwestern Oklahoma. I think they got some snow in the panhandle and really nice rains for the southern part of the state. I think I ended up with 1.3 at my house. Know some other people around Granite down there, Willow and Mangum, and down through that area, and especially around Hollis, got some really good rain showers. So congratulations to all you guys. That's pretty cool. Congratulate people on getting rain. We're farmers and ranchers. What do you expect? Northwestern Oklahoma didn't get much. I know out here along the state line, there was some heavy, heavy snow. I'm actually kind of glad we didn't get the snow. Sorry. I know snow is really good on our crops and stuff, but, 1.3 inches of rain, we'd have got 12, 15 inches of snow. Haley, that works here in the office with us, she lives right over there, basically west of Eric there, a few miles or so. They had 12 inches of snow on the ground there, really heavy stuff. Scott Robinson down there at Reed, 2.2. I knew there was some heavy. The mezzanet tells us kind of what the going on there, but Scott Robinson got 2.2 inches. He needs a lot of rain. Feed all those grass-eating charlays he's got. That'll teach you to text me during the show. Let's check out some four-day rain totals real quick. 1.47 at Hollis. I know there's some heavier amounts in that area. 1.64 at Mangum. 1.31 at Altus. 0.80 at Hobart, a little over a half inch at Elk City. And it just looks like everything was kind of south of the main rains were south of I-40. Just really good showers. And they got 2,900s at Boise City, 0.06 at Slap Out. So some really good rains. If you got some of, I know I've got this Doppler radar that Lacey told me to use 5 or 6 years ago, and I have some areas around Willow and down towards Mangum through Reed where Scott lives, and down and around Hollis, 2.5, 3 inches. I mean, Scott's got 2.2, so and then I got 0.00 at Visai. Hey, what are you doing listening to the show? Why aren't you online paying attention to that Hobson Angus bull sale that's happening right now? The Hobson Angus bull sale in Crescent just started right now, by the way. You can get on Live Ag and follow it. They've got 200 head of females and male bulls be selling there. They got some really good looking cattle according to their deal. I've never seen their cattle personally. I heard a lot of good things about it, but that's happening right now on Live Ag. Started 8 minutes ago. Hobson Angus bull and female sale is happening. I'll talk some more about some other bull sales coming up here. Pretty quick. Let's see here. Let's check out some temperatures around our listening area. Warming up nicely. It's going to be a great day. 60 at Hollis, 60 at Weatherford, 72 at Camargo. Some of the mezzanet sites, or they must be rebooting them today. 73 at Beaver, 65 at Medford, out here in the panhandle of Texas. What we got here? 70 at Canadian, 74 at Miami. Miami looks like the warm spot in the whole state. 65 at Odell, 62 at Goodland, 64 at Childress. Some nice temperatures hanging on. I know I'm sore as you can get today. I'm showing my age. Pulled up over 250 dead plants out of my high tunnel yesterday and rolled up the weed mat on the thing, burned all the stuff. I was going to put it back down as mulch inside the high tunnel there. And then I thought I didn't have but a couple of plants that had diseases last year, if that's what it was. And I thought instead of mulching that down, I just went ahead and burned it. It's very unlike me because I like mulch and I like no-till and just leaving everything just the way it is. But I decided to burn it yesterday. Then the dogs and me went over to the 80 next door to me and pulled up the rest of the hot wire T-post that I had down. That, again, was a chore. So I was feeling. I sat down. Sandy cooked some supper last night, and I sat down. When I got up, I went, oh, that hurts. So I slept pretty good till my wife woke me up. My dog was whining, wanted outside. We got they stay in the kennel inside the house, and she decided about 1:30 this morning to she need to go outside. I know what the deal is. She didn't need to go get a drink of water or go put potty. They could smell a cat or something out there on the front porch, so they went hunting last night. And anyway, this pretty Saturday was pretty uneventful. Just rained all day. What a good rain it was to it. Yes, I'll send it to you during the break, that website there, Mr. Visai, got going on. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Wheat futures rose in overnight trading on concerns about dry weather in the southern plains. Little or no rain is expected in much of Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of the grain this week, and instead, windy, dry conditions are in the forecast. Red flag warnings, an indicator of extremely dry weather, has been issued for much of Kansas, parts of other states as dry weather moves in. According to the National Weather Service, strong winds and low relative humidity are forecast for much of the state throughout the week, according to forecasts. Still, only about 25% of the Kansas is suffering from a drought as of right now. Topsoil moisture remains solid in that state at 65% adequate or surplus, according to the USDA. In a report last week, some 25% of topsoil was short and 10% was very short in moisture. About 54% of the winter wheat crop in Kansas was in good or excellent shape. Last week, 32% was fair and 14% was poor or very poor. Wheat futures for May delivery went up about 6.5 cents to 557.75 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 5.5 cents to 570.25 a bushel. Corn futures fell a tick to 469 a bushel. Soybeans for May delivery fell a nickel to 1020 a bushel. Soy meal was unchanged at 304.40 a short ton overnight, and soy oil dropped 1.03 cents to 42.39 cents a pound. Chinese cattle output is to decline, according to this report from Successful Farming. Cattle production in China will decline year over year amidst declining beef prices, while swine output will increase, according to a report from the USDA's Atate in Beijing. The calf crop in 2025 is now forecast at 45.6 million head, down from a prior outlook of 52 million. That's quite a bit. And ahead of last year's 47.5 million head. While feed cost, a major cost for cattle production, decreased, beef prices fell even further. Sources indicate the profitability of China's beef cattle industry has been steadily declining since 2022. Losses in the 23 and 24 persisted. About 70% of the cattle producers in China are losing money. Swine production in China, meanwhile, is expected to grow narrowly this year. The pig crop is forecast at 705 million head. That's up from a projection of 700 million. Post-forecast swine production to grow in 2025 due to higher pigs per sow year because of improved animal practices and industry consolidation. The production growth is curbed by lower sow inventory. All right, let's see what's going on with our weather and our Farm Belt. Extremely dry weather is expected in parts of the Midwestern states with intense winds. I understand. I didn't see it, but I was talking to my landlord this morning. He said they were forecasting winds this Friday in Oklahoma, 70 miles an hour. Has anybody heard that? I haven't had time to check it out, but that's not cool. Looks like South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. Red flag warnings have been issued for all those states, which is a lot. Any fires that will develop will spread rapidly. And central North Dakota and winds this afternoon will gust up to 65 miles an hour. Oof. You guys, keep in mind with these winds, I already seen some grass burning this morning. Keep in mind with these forecast winds, please take precaution in burning this week. If you would, especially wood piles, tree piles, brush piles, they can linger on for days and days. Just keep that in mind, because I know we got some winter grass greening up out there and our wheat pastures look really nice right now. But the grass, I seen some green. I checked the love grass this morning on that one place west of Elk this morning. The bottom part of the plant is greening up really nicely, but it'll still burn if things dry out. I think people get comfortable with burning after some rains, and it does help. There's no joke about that. So just be careful out there with what you're doing this week. Keep that in mind with the really dry, windy weather forecast for Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. All right, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. I got your OCA question for you. Pay attention to how I say this, because I know what's going to happen. I'll bet you $5 right now, anybody, $5 that somebody's going to answer it differently because they think it's different. It's not a multiple choice, but you have a pretty good chance of naming one of them. Name me a state that has more cows than people. Name me a state that has more cows than people. And I have a really nice Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association t-shirt to give you today. I'm going to take the seventh person who texts in the answer. Text is in the answer, sorry, with your name and your answer. And I'll let you know online on the text line how it gets it. Oh, look, somebody already cheated. Sent me an answer on my phone. Yes, you're correct. That's one of them. Anyway, that is your OCA question of the day. So let's take an OCA break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know Ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, February the 28th. 2,052 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 385 brought 415. 4 at 501 brought 354. 8 at 541 brought 362.50. 13 at 583 brought 309. 9 at 628 brought 309. 22 at 749 brought 256. 10 at 858 brought 260. 16 head of heifers at 387 brought 372.50. 5 at 489 brought 314. 6 at 520. 29 brought 318. 3 at 600 brought 276. 7 at 661 brought 256. 10 at 704 brought 258. 8 at 769 brought 245. Butcher cows were 74 to 154. Butcher bulls brought 122 to 193. Bred cows were 1,100 to 3,400. Pairs brought 2175 to 3250. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at Sweetwater, featuring 20 registered age, Vantage, and 50 yearling bulls. Also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale information, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle are for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's go with, I haven't mentioned Odell, Texas in a while. 65 at Odell. Humidity's 39, dew point's 39, winds are out of southwest at 11, gusts up to 14, 1.21 inches of rain so far in the month of March, no red flag, our sub-freezing minutes, 8-inch soil temperature, 51 degrees. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update. Let's see what's happening here. Let me make sure it's fresh. It looks like it is, but I want to make darn sure it is. Ooh, I got some, a lot of good answers coming in. So far, only one person is wrong. If anybody wants to call him and tell him his answer was wrong, you can call Jackie McNabb over there by Foss. He's way off. Sorry, Jackie, I couldn't help that. All right, corn for March, 458, up 2.75. Let's just cancel March. We're into March. May, 470, up 1.5. July is 477, up 1.5. Soybeans for May, 1014, down 11. July is 10.28, down 10.75. Soybean meal for May, 302.40, down $2. July is 309.50, down 160. Soybean oil, May, 42.32, down 110. Hard red winter wheat, May, 5.79, up 14.25. July, 5.91, up 14. Cotton for July, 67.03, down 12. Oil out of West Texas, April 66.21, down 83. Natural gas just keeps on climbing. April 4.54, up 14. The NASDAQ and the S&P and the Dow are all a lot in the red today. Cattle, not so bad. Live cattle for April 255, up 27. June 197.10. Up 62. Feeders for March, 277.20, up 22. April, 278.02, down 12. May is 278.47, up 27. Lean hogs, April, 87.95, up 60. And May is 91.02, up 42. All right, let's see here. Oh, I wanted to share this with you. I think it's in the works here in Oklahoma. I can't remember if it got signed or not, but South Dakota's governor has signed a bill prohibiting the use of eminent domain for pipelines carrying carbon CO2 throwing a wrench in Summit Carbon Solutions project to build a pipeline carrying liquefied carbon dioxide to an area in North Dakota. That pipeline has been, this first time I've seen that pipeline in the news since we had the commander-in-chief's change positions there where Trump came in for Biden. This first time I've seen this in quite a while. The new law injects uncertainty into Summit's plan, which included 2,500 miles of pipeline through Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and the Dakotas that would carry liquefied CO2 from 57 ethanol plants. This was a big story last year because they were going to use eminent domain to get this pipeline through there. And I guess enough landowners, especially in South Dakota, got together and said, hey, gave them the number one sign, and we're not putting up with that. And the project aims to lower the carbon intensity scores of participating ethanol plants, which could help them qualify for federal and state incentives. A federal tax incentive offers $85 a ton for permanently stored CO2. But South Dakota landowners have objected to the project, particularly because the potential use of eminent domain to gain access to land where property owners do not want to sign voluntary easements with the company. Summit's original mapping plan for the state also was rejected by the state Public Utility Company. Why am I talking about this? Because I hate that eminent domain. I understand with the highways, exits, stuff like that. You don't want Mr. Attitude, only one of 50s, saying no. But when it comes to some crap like this, because what are we going to get out of? What is people going to get out of? Yeah, they're going to get damages, but maybe they don't want that crap on their land. So the bill prevents carbon pipeline companies from acquiring land by eminent domain or the right to access private property for projects that benefit the public. Eminent domain can be used for projects like electrical power lines, water pipelines, and highways. There we go. So it passed pretty commonly, which is a good deal. Oh, yeah, and I seen something on social media this morning. I've talked about this before. I want to clarify this again. Somebody asked, they just moved to Sayre, and they said that they heard about an access to the river, the North Fork in particular. And there is a couple spots like the bridge at Sayre. You can go underneath the bridge, but you can just go underneath the bridge, stay on state property if you're on private. The rest of it's private land. And if you're not in a canoe in the water, you're trespassing. Keep that in mind, because there's a lot of that. I know there's a lot of it goes on around me, and the reason why I know that is because I live there. But there's people running up, down, running through water gaps, and just quit it. You're stirring up trouble. If you're in a canoe or whatever in the water and your feet's not touching the land, you're not trespassing. But North Fork's not one of your better canoeing rivers unless the water's running really good, which is pretty much 3-4 months out of the year, maybe, and or after a good flood. But I just want people to be clarified that you don't have access to the river. I mean, you do have a couple of spots, but if your feet are touching that ground, you're trespassing. That's the law. I swear. I know it. I read it 100 times, and I'm not even a lawyer, but I'm just telling you, you're trespassing. If you go through there, and let me clarify, your feet touching the ground, that doesn't mean your feet can be in a UTV Ranger or Razor or whatever. I'm telling you, the tires are touching the ground and you're trespassing. So please be courteous to people. You know, most of those people will probably let you go down in there if you just call in and ask them. They probably will say no. Some of them will, but it won't hurt to at least call them and ask them. Okay, let's check out some livestock auction reports from last week. Let's start with Oklahoma. Total receipts, 41,939 head went through the sale barns compared to 33,000 the week before and 30,407 a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were $2 to $7 lower. Some lightweight stocker calves were $2 to $10 higher. Demand was moderate to good. Rain moved across the state Monday night, bringing nice rains to many, but also wind and hail damage to others. Western Oklahoma also saw some much-needed rain on Sunday evening. Slaughter cows and bulls were 3 to 6 higher. Supply was included 94% feeders, 4% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Out here in the big state of Texas, what do we got here? 7,811 head went through the sale barn compared to 8,600 the week before and 8,428 a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were unevenly steady. Demand was moderate to good. High winds through the week increased fire dangers in the area. Slaughter cows and bulls were also unevenly steady for the week. Supply included 89% feeders, 9% slaughter, and 2% replacement cattle. There you have it. Let's check, see if I got us what's on the text line so far. Where'd it go? There it is. Let's see here. All right. Oh, dude. Oh, you almost had it. Okay, so I have a winner. And Kansas is not a correct answer. So what it is, it's Nebraska. No, it's not Nebraska. South Dakota, Wyoming, North Dakota, and Montana are the states that there's more cows. I didn't say cattle. I said cows. There's more cows in those states than there is people. I think there's 8 or 9 states that's actually got more cattle than population. That's another question for another day. Yeah, a lot of people had Kansas in there. A few people had Oklahoma, and not correct. Oh, and I got a question for you guys. I got one more question for you. And there's no prize in this. One of our listeners was wondering, got a question for your cow people that are listening. Does it do any good to worm cows and calves in the winter? Just wondering. So if anybody wants to chime in on that, he or she, I don't know which it is, would appreciate your feedback on that. We worm our calves when we work them, which will be next month, because this will be their first worm. And our cows, I get the cow patties checked in the pasture before we worm. And I have not wormed any cattle in 3 years because there's no sign of parasites in any of the poop. So there you have it. I noticed the cows are starting to scratch pretty good. The lice is coming on. Hair's missing. Anyways, yep. So again, my question was, the OCA question was, what states has more cows than people? In South Dakota, Wyoming, North Dakota, and Montana are your four answers. So let's take an OCA break. When we come back, we'll have more news in ag.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City. It's time to gear up for corn planting season. Our Golden Harvest brand corn seed is now available, so call today and get your order in. Don't miss out on the best yields at the lowest possible price. Also, if you're needing bigger amounts of ag chemicals, we can ship it to you straight from the warehouse. And remember, you can't beat our prices. That's SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity. Visit us today on South Randall in Elk City. Follow us on Facebook or give us a call.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I got more interested in the engineering part of it when I got to college. Grandpa was an engineer, and he got to be an engineer through correspondence school. He was number 62 in the state of Oklahoma. And Dad did the same thing, and I would collaborate with Dad and get the engineering part of things down. I'd learn from them. I really do like being able to be given a problem and then try to solve it, not in the ordinary way. Give them a little bit of something else. It's a very big challenge, but it's one I like. Cremation is a challenge that's coming up. It's not a regular monument. These are memorials that can be sculptural pieces. It can be in your garden and then move someplace else. You can take them with you. That part for me is really interesting. The name of our company is Willis Granite Products, and our website is willisgranite.com.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaugh, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Pick the big old town of Alva. 73, feels like 73. Dew point's 31. Humidity's 21. The winds are out of southwest at 7. 35 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in 35 hundredths of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average bare soil temperature, 48 degrees. Sunset at 7:37. Forecast, sunny, 80 today. Tonight, 44. Tomorrow, 77. Looks like not a whole. I think it's supposed to get a little gusty this afternoon for western Oklahoma. Not bad, 25 mile an hour. But after that, tomorrow looks calm and beautiful. So good weather forecast. Okay, let's check out some news on some cotton. Want to? What's going on? I got my little email in. We've heard about Trump and tariffs. Here we go. In remarks delivered at the Commodity Classic, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins provided an update on the USDA's plans for distributing the economic and disaster assistance authorized in the end of the funding package. $10 billion in economic assistance was passed by Congress, Secretary Rollins said. My team has been working around the clock to stand up on this process. Today, I'm proud to announce that the Economic Assistance Program will be called the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, or ECAP. Congress gave us 90 days, and we should have it out by March 20th, if not earlier. So sometime in the next 10 days, should have it. And let's see here. Exports, net exports for the week ending February 27th was 260,000 bales of cotton. This brings the 24-25 sales to approximately 10.5 million. Total sales at the same point in the 23-24 marking year was at 11.1 million. Total new crop for the 25-26 sales are currently at 824,600 bales. Shipments for the week were 348,200 bales, bringing total exports to 5.2 million bales compared with 6 million bales at a comparable point in the 23-24 marketing year. I hope things get better for our cotton farmers around here. I really do. We need the prices to get up, and because a lot of people needing to make decisions now and yesterday about what to do with your cotton. If you're going to plant cotton, you're going to plant corn, or you're not going to plant nothing at all. So I don't know. I just hope we can get things turned around, but it doesn't happen overnight. So, okay, let's see here. Speaking of the USDA, Ag Daily reported last week that the USDA has begun listing planned lease terminations to impact 59 Farm Service Agency and Natural Resource Conservation Service offices as a part of an effort to cut costs, according to the Department of Government Efficiency, Dodge. The move is part of the Trump administration's initiative to reduce agency spending, affecting numerous office spaces across the country. Don't worry, nothing in Oklahoma. I didn't see nothing in Oklahoma. Honestly, I don't think I seen anything in Texas on there either. So far, 748 lease terminations totaling 9.59 million square feet and approximately $660,000 in lease savings has been listed on Dodge's website. Has anybody got on Dodge's website and actually checked that out? I guess it's something I need to do. The USDA's lease terminations zero in on 36 NRCS offices and 13 FSA county offices and 11 rural housing service offices that will see their leases terminated. Some of the slated closures are state offices, Alaska and Kentucky, with some are county field offices. According to the Dodge website, the USDA expects the FSA state and county office lease termination to result in savings over $9.7 million, while the NRCS lease terminations are projected to save over $19.3 million. The rural housing service lease termination expected to save about $8.6 million, according to Ag Daily. Meanwhile, the USDA lands is number seven on the agency efficiency leaderboard, which continues to track progress across federal agencies. AgriPulse, Noah's Wicks, and Philip Brasher reported that Steve Peterson, who is serving as the USDA's acting deputy undersecretary for farm production and conservation, told AgriPulse Monday at the Commodity Classic in Denver that the purpose is to evaluate savings and see whether or not the ability to renegotiate or find other locations and areas to possibly find cheaper rent. If not, those sites are not important. It's not that those sites are not important, Peterson said at the offices. They are important. It's just what I've heard and understand that in the valuation of leases and rents just continue to climb and go up and up and up. So there is an opportunity to reevaluate those leases or maybe renegotiate. I got it right that time. I slowed down a little bit. I can actually pronounce some words. Wicks and Brasher reported among those in the Kentucky State FSA office in Lexington, which is housed in the same building as the state NRCS office. One source who spoke to AgriPulse on conditions of being a NARC said leasing of the space is being terminated by the General Service Administration with no plans for where staff will go. We'll see what happens here. Animal Control is calling me during my show. I wonder what. They must have some feral cats they want to give me. A GS spokesman said in a written statement that acting administration Stephen Ekeline vision for the GSA includes reducing our deferred maintenance ability. So Ag Daily reports the FSA state buildings listed on the Dodge website included Montgomery, Alabama, Madera, California, Hayter Rey in Puerto Rico, and one in Maryland, and one in Texas. FSA offices upcoming lease terminations have been announced for the FSA county offices in Batesville, Arkansas, Watertown, South Dakota, Hendersonville, North Carolina, another one in Arkansas, Utah, Minnesota, North Carolina, Clovis, New Mexico, in Puerto Rico, another one, Roswell, New Mexico, and here we go, Gonzales, Texas. I missed that one early. So one in Texas. There we go. I don't even know where that's at. I have to Google that. The Dodge website also listed NRCS offices to be terminating in Batesville, Arkansas, Eureka, California, Pearl, Mississippi, North Carolina, California, Alaska, Arkansas again, Kansas, one in Lawrence, Kansas, really? That's a big farm town there. New Hampshire, Yuma, Arizona, Georgia, Gallup, New Mexico. I don't see any in Texas. There we go. There you have it. Things are tightening up around these. You got a building you're leasing out to the government. You better get on it, see what's happening. Okay, let's go ahead and take a OCA break. Let's talk about them. On whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close. Most of us don't care much about city life or politics. We don't have the time or the desire to travel to the Capitol to attend legislative sessions, but we still know that what happens there certainly can drastically affect our operations. That's exactly why we need an organization like Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, and maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, then OCA is for you. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. For more information, go to www.okcattlemen.org or just call that young lady up there around Arnett up there in Ellis County, Miss Lori Campbell. She'll hook you up, or just call the main office. It's a good organization. It's, you don't have to go to all their stuff, but at $100 a year, they'll take care of you. Get one of those nice signs to hang out, hang on their fences. Beware of the cattle owner. No, it's not what it says. It gives out a reward for it. So it's a pretty good deal. I enjoy being a member of them. Okay. Come back. Well, let's take a break. And when I come back, also, I'm gonna throw this question out again. I got two responses and I want to share the responses. And here's the question. And 580-225-9697 is the ag text line. Got a question for your cow people that are listening. Does it do any good to warm cows and calves in the winter? Just wondering. Like to know your response. I got a couple waiting. We'll go over those when I get back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Saturday night, March 15th, the new Shamrock Community Center will come alive at the Big St. Patrick's Dance. Headlining the show and dance will be recording star Dylan Wheeler. Just a broke-ass kid. And opener Slade Coulter. Tickets are $35 online at shamrockstpatricks.com or $40 at the door. Must be age 17 and up. Don't miss this night of great music and dancing with Dylan Wheeler. Domestic beer sales will be available. Please note BYOB. It's the Big St. Patrick's Dance, Saturday, March 15th, 8 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. in Shamrock, Texas. Be there.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
Brian Bacca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Just imagine you're getting to the end of your career. You have worked hard creating a beautiful life for your family over the past 30 or 40 years. You've raised your kids and spent countless hours at their sporting events, concerts, and ag shows. As you were going through this phase of your life, you thought the long evenings would never end. Now that your career is winding down and your kids are no longer home, you cherish those memories with your family and wish you could go back and watch your kids do what they love one more time. You now have grandkids and you find peace watching your own kids become parents and love seeing the world through your grandkids' eyes. As you inch toward retirement, you start to wonder if you've taken the right steps, saved enough money, and where does Medicare and Social Security fit into all of this? Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton, 323-6800 or retirewithbacka.com. There are many things in life that will worry us, but retirement should not be one of them. Let us help you find your peace in retirement.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
The Big Three Model Year Clearance Sale is happening now at all seven Lipscomb dealerships. Great big limited time savings on new GM, Ford, and Stellantis vehicles, including special 0% financing and discounts of over $11,000 off select Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicles at Lipscomb in Wichita Falls, Burke Burnett, Bowie, Sayre, Elk City, and online at LipscombDealerships.com. Save more in the country. Lipscomb, good people, great deals since 1979.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Let me get untangled here. Weather, your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Let's head to Reed America in honor of Scott Robinson and his Charley cattle. 63 degrees, dew point's 42, humidity's 45, the winds are out of the southwest, 9 miles an hour, 2.38 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil, temperature 51 degrees, sunset at 7:40, 75 and sunny today with south winds 10 to 14 with wind gust up over 20, tonight clear, low of 39, with a little breezy, not bad. Tomorrow just looks beautiful, 77 and sunny with southwest to south winds, 10 to 13 miles an hour with wind gust, maybe up to 20, they're saying here. Check that out. Okay, let's go to the text line. Let's see here. There we go. Here's a reply to my deal, my comment about the riverland being private. It is. The water belongs to the public. That's it. If people would respect the land and respect the farmers, more people will let them access the river. I went to a farm pond last summer, and while fishing, we picked up the back of my side-by-side completely full of trash. There you go. Very good. Let's see here. Answer to the question about worming calves and cattle during the winter. Yes, kills the lice and other stuff. And another response was, we worm every time they're in the lot, and that's twice a year at least. And that's the only responses I got. So best thing is to ask your vet, because you can't overworm. I know that for a fact. There's a lot of studies come out in the last 3 or 4 years about some people are overworming. So save yourself some money. Check with your vet what they recommend, whoever your vet is. All right. Let's see here. Bull sales. Like I said, the Hobson one is going on right now. If you Google live ad ag, it'll take you right to that website, and the Hobson is going on there right now. And good luck to them. And then Harrison Cattle Company is coming up March 25th at 12 o'clock. McIntyre Red Angus, March the 31st at 1 o'clock. The Reds in the Heartland, April the 5th. By the way, if you get on Facebook and go to McIntyre Red Angus and check out that drone video that they made for their sale, I'm not going to lie to you. I've seen a lot of cool drone videos, and that's one of the coolest drone videos I've seen to promote a bull sale. It's really neat. Jack and Sherry Dameron's daughter did that. Sarah, really good job. And it's a really cool video on the McIntyre Red Angus, and we'll have McIntyre Red Angus on here in the next couple of weeks, talk about their upcoming bull and female sale March 25th. So check it out. Let's see here. Guess what? South Dakota's in the news again. Governor Roden signs the bill blocking public funding for lab-grown meat. I think some other people have banned lab-grown meat, Oklahoma being one of them. According to the National Agriculture Law Center, at least 14 states have proposed legislation right now relating to the labeling or banning of alternate proteins in the 2025 legislative session. Idaho, Indiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, Oregon, South Carolina, and Utah have introduced that. I think Oklahoma's already a done deal. Florida, I should have did a little more homework here. Also, Georgia is considering a bill, HB 201, which would ban the sale or distribution of cultivated meat within the state. Colorado, Illinois, Oklahoma, and Wyoming also propose bills this section that would ban the sale, manufacture of sale cultured meat. Nebraska introduced it last month, and let's see here, whatever else. All right. So anyway, anti-lab grown. What I don't have any information on it yet. Spencer, send me some information. If you're listening, send me some information. I don't see anything in the penny news on it yet. I know it's coming up, but send me some information and I'll talk about it. All right. You guys ready? Staying strong. According to AgWeb on the machinery page they got, the used farm equipment market is thriving and retrofit tech is trending. We're going to take a deep dive into the used tractor, combine, and cotton picker markets and learn how one equipment manufacturing is making technology adoption less of a leap for farmers. As farmers stare down falling commodity prices amid a trade war in North America, that's not the reason. It was way low before this trade war started. The auction market for used farm equipment is seemingly defying the odds and staying strong. One example of that strength is the recent sale. Yeah, Sugar Daddy, I hope you're listening. Of a 2024 Case IH Quad Steiger 715 tractor with low operating hours. And it's just one handful of recent sales that show a trend. High quality, well-maintained machinery is moving off the dealer lots and selling at auction houses. That certainly hasn't always been the case. It feels like to me, and I've been saying this for 10 years, the ag equipment space is slowly transitioning to a construction equipment kind of focus, where the amount of equipment out there and the dollars associated are showing more and more machines are going to auction, says Machine Repeat on the latest Moving Iron podcast. It used to be when I first started off in this business, if something went to the auction, it was either a pile of crap or it was 30 years old. These days, a marketing plan is important to have in place to promote your auction. Marketing is the biggest part of any auction right now. Matter of fact, I think there's a guy, a farmer in Nebraska, has started Machinery Auction Tuesdays, and there's no buyer's fee or none of that. It's like 2% commission. I can't remember the name of that website. I ran across it the other day, but it was it's pretty good. Marketing is the biggest part of any auction, right? You have to let people know what you have, just like anything else you're selling, adds Casey Simon, who has nearly 20 years experience in the ag equipment industry. But the thing about the auction is it's very time sensitive. So you also need to highlight the tributes of your auction that are going to bring people's attention to it quickly. One way is to drive interest in sharing the unique stories behind the machines and the farmers that bring them to the auction, which I totally agree with. It helps you get your potential buyers emotionally invested in the sale. The personal attachment goes a long way when you're looking at how these things come together. If it's a classic tractor or if it's 1 year old tractor that's got hardly any hours, tell them the story. The one thing I used to try is to get a lot of sales guys to talk about it and put a story behind it. And I agree with it. So, show's already over. I was rattling on today. All right, you guys have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful day outdoors. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, America. God bless. See you tomorrow.